జన్మేజయ స్వపితరం శ్రుత్వా తక్షకపక్షితం సంకృప్తో వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ జన్మేజయ కింగ్ జనమేజయ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ పరీక్షిత్ స్వపితరం హిజ్ ఓన్ ఫాదర్ శ్రుత్వా హియరింగ్ తక్షక బై తక్షక ద స్నేక్ బర్డ్ భక్షితం బిటన్ యథా ప్రాపర్లీ ఆజుహావ offered as oblations sankruddha extremely angry nagan the snakes satre in a great sacrifice saha along with dvijay brahmanas translation hearing that his father has been fatally bitten by the snake bird maharaj janamejaya became extremely angry and had brahmanas perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire. The text does not have purport, so we'll read till 25. Text 17. సర్పసత్రే సమాధాగ్నౌ దహ్యమానాన్ మహోరగాన్ దృష్ట్వేంద్రం భయ సంవిఘ్నస్తక్షక శరణం యయౌ. When Takshaka saw even the most powerful serpents being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice, he was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. అపశ్యమానాం తక్షకం తత్ర రాజాన్ పరీక్షితో ద్విజాన్ ఉవాచ తక్షక కస్మాన్ నా దహ్యేదో ఊరగాధమాం. When King Janamejaya did not see Takshaka entering his sacrificial fire, he said to the Brahmanas, why is not Takshaka, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire? Text 19. Tam gopayati rajendra sakra sharanam agatam tena samsthavita sarpas tasmanna gopatatyaso. The brahmanas replied, O best of kings, the snake Takshaka has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire. 20. Parikshita iti srutva praharutvij udaradhi sahendras takshako vipra nagnau kim iti patyate. The intelligent king Janamejaya, hearing these words, replied to Prish, then my dear brahmanas, why not make Takshaka fall into the fire along with his protector Indra? తం శ్రుత్వా ఆజహుర్ విప్రా సహేంద్రం తక్షకం మఖే తక్షకౌ పతస్వేహ సహేంద్రేణ మరుత్వతాం. హియరింగ్ దిస్ ద ప్రీస్ట్ దెన్ చాంటెడ్ దిస్ మంత్ర ఫర్ ఆఫరింగ్ తక్షక టుగెదర్ విత్ ఇంద్ర యాజ్ అన్ ఆబ్లేషన్ ఇన్ టు ద సాక్రిఫిషియల్ ఫైర్. ఓ తక్షక ఫాల్ ఇమ్మీడియట్లీ ఇన్ టు దిస్ ఫైర్ ఎలాంగ్ విత్ ఇంద్ర అండ్ హిజ్ ఎంటైర్ హోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ డెమిగాడ్స్. ఇది బ్రహ్మోదిక్తాక్షేపై స్థానాత్ ఇంద్రాపతాశలై బహువా సంభ్రాంత మతిహి సాభిమానా సతక్షక. వెన్ లార్డ్ ఇంద్ర ఎలాంగ్ విత్ హిజ్ ఎయిర్ప్లేన్ అండ్ తక్షక సా సడన్లీ thrown from his position by these insulting words of brahmanas, he became very disturbed. Tam patantam vimanena saha takshakam ambarat vilokangirasa praha rajanam iti brahaspati. Brahaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling into the from the sky in his aeroplane along with Takshaka, approached King Janamejaya and spoke to him as follows. నైషాత్వయ మనుష్యేంద్ర వదుం అర్హతి సర్పరాట్ అనేన పిత అనేన పీతమృతం అథవా అజరామరః. O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hands, for he has drunk the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to the ordinary symptoms of old age and death. Text 25. Jivitam maranam jantor gatisve naiva karmana rajam sato anyon nastyasya pradhat sukadukkayo. The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activities. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress. Purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although King Parikshit apparently died by the bite of Takshaka, it was Lord Krishna himself who brought the king back to the kingdom of God. Brihaspati wanted young King Janamejaya to see things from the spiritual point of view. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యస్య కృపాసింధుభ్యయేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. వెల్కమ్ ఎవ్రీవన్ టు ద మార్నింగ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. Before shaking, seeking blessings from all the Vaishnavas who are seated here, so that I can speak something for your pleasure. So at this point, in the Bhagavatam 12th canto, when Maharaj Parikshit passes away, 6th chapter. So Bhagavatam started with the questions of Parikshit Maharaj, how to leave the body, and yesterday we have seen very graphically how Parikshit Maharaj actually leaves his body. So after the 7 days of instructions given by Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj has reached that perfection and very successfully left the body and went back home, back to Godhead. So if you see how the people over there reacted, verse 14 says, there arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions on the earth and in the heavens. So even after hearing from Sukadeva Goswami for the 7 days about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one is not the body, one is the soul, how one lives and everything, still, because it was Parikshit Maharaj who was a great king who was leaving the body, there was a terrible lamentation. But immediately there was also a jubilation. there was a kettle drum sounded in the regions of the demigods, and all the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. So the people who were there, who were hearing the Bhagavatam and seeing, they were able to properly understand the glorious departure of Maharaj Parikshit, and they all were celebrating. So in one sense, the whole Bhagavatam is finished and the Sukadeva Goswami's instructions are finished, and the result of Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead. If the Bhagavatam would have just stopped here, but the people who are hearing will not be in a proper mood to understand. Like somebody who were there hearing constantly Sukadeva Goswami, they properly understood. But here that may not be the case. So here Suta Goswami also presents the after instance, how it all happened. Here I feel Suta Goswami has taken up an instant where somebody has so much disturbed by the leaving of Parikshit Maharaj and what he did and how he was consoled later. So text 16 to 23 talks about how Janamejaya reacted to the passing away of Parikshit, and then 25 to 35 there is instructions on how to see everything in a proper light. So Bhagavatam again and again repeats the instructions of Krishna consciousness so that the one does not swayed by the material illusion. So here this is one place where the descriptions of Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit, is coming. So Janamejaya is mentioned in other few places in Bhagavatam. In the first canto, when the Parikshit is born, all the Brahmanas are foretelling what Parikshit will do. In the 12th chapter, the verse also comes here. This child will be a father of kings who will be like sages. So the Parikshit will be a father of kings who will be like sages. So there, Prabhupada writes that. And so it is also foretold about Maharaj Parikshit and his son Maharaj Janamejaya. So Janamejaya is also mentioned here as the Rajarishi, one of the saintly kings. And mention of Janamejaya also comes in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, where describing the lineage of Parikshit Maharaj. So how he was disturbed by Parikshit Maharaj's death, and how he conducts a snake sacrifice. In the first canto, 16th chapter, Prabhupada in the purport writes about Maharaj Janamejaya. Prabhupada writes, Janamejaya is one of the Rajarishi kings and the famous son of Maharaj Parikshit. He celebrated several sacrifices in the Kurukshetra pilgrimage site, and he had three younger brothers named Srutena, Ugrasena and Bhimasena. He performed a great sacrifice called Sarpa Yajna to kill the rays of serpents, including the Takshaka, which had bitten his father to death. On the request of many influential demigods and sages, he had to change his decision to kill the rays of snakes. But despite stopping the sacrifice, he satisfied everyone concerned in the sacrifice by rewarding them properly. So it is in this Sarpa Yajna sacrifice that Vyasadeva speaks briefly about the whole history of Mahabharata, what had happened. And after that, on the request of Janamejaya, Vaishampayana Rishi, he speaks in detail to the Janamejaya, the whole Mahabharata, which has been composed by Vyasadeva. So Janamejaya was instrumental in here also, like bringing the Mahabharata. So today in our class, we will just try to see two sections, how the Sarpa Yajna has happened, the instances which followed and after the death of Parikshit Maharaj, and how it came to Sarpa Yajna. And we will just see how, when one is overtaken by passion, how one loses discrimination. So here, text 16 says, Hearing that his father has been fatally bitten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janmejaya became extremely angry. So the question is, the whole world knows that Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed, he is going to leave the world in 7 days, and so many sages from all the world has come. And it seems the Parikshit Janmejaya doesn't know that. It says, hearing that his father has been fatally bitten by the snake. So Mahabharata says, when Parikshit Maharaj was bitten by the Takshak, Janmejaya was a small child. So he didn't know exactly what was happening, or he was not so much conscious of. So that also brings to one understanding that the son of Parikshit was a small kid. That means Parikshit was at its ripe young age when he was leaving his body. It makes really one more sense that Parikshit's leaving the body is something like untimely, very prematurely he was cursed. He has to leave the body. So Janmejaya was just, after that he grew up old, elderly, and then he started taking up the kingdom, and he was ruling the kingdom very nicely, happily. But at one point of time he comes to know about the whole thing, about how his father left his body. So Mahabharata goes into detail. Mahabharata is spoken by our Vaishampayana Rishi. So it says, there was one Brahmana with the name Uttanka. So he was studying under his guru Veda, and he was really taking his education was taking a long time. Almost he finished his education, but his guru does not wanted to leave him. Basically the guru's wife wanted to keep him for some more time, and it was just getting extended. And eventually he finally one day wanted to carry on in his life, and he goes and asks, do you want any Guru Dakshina? And then his wife asks for a gift to be got from a king. So Uttanka, it appears very simple initially, what she was asked, and he goes to get that gift from the king. But it turns out that the gift what Uttanka was seeking was also sought out by Takshaka. So finally when he takes the gift and he is coming back to give it to his guru, the Takshaka comes in between and he steals the gift. And now Uttanka had to go to Patala, Patala Loka, and then fight. Not like he has to go through a lot of ordeal in getting back the gift. And then he reaches just on time when the his guru's wife has asked for that. And she says, if you have been little late, I would have cursed you. So having gone through all that trouble, Uttanka was disturbed with Takshaka. And we also see in the whole pastime of incident of the Uttanka that even though initially he is staying along at the guru's place may appear some kind of injustice, but at the end the whole story of how he gets back the gift from the Nagaloka, it just shows that by serving the guru he was pleasing all the demigods. So in his attempts to bring back the gift, the Indra, Agni, Vayu, all of them, they come and help him. But okay, that incident goes on nicely, but after he takes leave from the guru, he was very angry with the Takshaka and he wanted to take revenge. And this Uttanka goes to Janmejaya Maharaj and he reminds him that, look, your father has been unjustly killed by Takshaka. So you have to take revenge on Takshaka. So now, this is for the first time Parikshit Janmejaya Maharaj is coming to know about how his father has left his body. The whole instances of the curse and then Takshaka coming and biting. And after hearing from this, Janmejaya Maharaj decides that Takshaka should be punished and he should be killed. So now, if you see, Takshaka was just an instrument in fulfilling the curse of a Brahmana. So the anger of the Janamejay Maharaj should have been on the Brahmanas. But here the his anger comes on the Takshaka. So if you just see, Bhavatam also speaks two verses back how the exact instances happened. So when Takshaka was coming to kill Janamejay Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, one Kashyapa Muni, he is coming to save Parikshit Maharaj. If Takshaka would have just bit and just gone, the Kashyapa Muni would have revived Parikshit and he would have lived. But Takshaka wanted to make sure that Parikshit really dies. He does not get revived. And then he bribes Kashyapa Muni, and then Takshaka comes and bites Parikshit. So it is not just in being an instrument in somebody's curse, but Takshaka was very much into the mood of wanting to kill Parikshit Maharaj. So Janamejaya Maharaj recites, it is not the Brahmana who was to be punished, because the small child, out of uncontrolled anger, he just pronounced a curse. And Takshaka could have helped in coming out of it. But because of Takshaka's insistence, the Parikshit Maharaj was been killed. So Janamejaya Maharaj wanted to do a sarpa yajna to kill all the snakes. So if you see the little more Mahabharata instances, what made Takshaka also angry? He said that Takshaka was living in the Khandavaprastha forest with his family, all the wives, children and everyone. And when Arjuna and Krishna, both of them, they were, when fire is burning the Khandavaprastha, and it is Arjuna and Krishna who are making sure that the forest will be completely burned and nobody escapes from the forest. So Mahabharata says that during that burning of the Khandavaprastha, Takshaka was not there at the Khandavaprastha, and only his wife and child was there. And in that fire, the wife died, and somehow his son Ashwasena, he could escape. So this Ashwasena later becomes the Nagastra in the quiver of Karna, the same Nagastra which knocked off the helmet of Arjuna. So Takshaka also had some enmity towards the Pandavas, and now having got the chance of biting the Parikshit, who is a descendant of Arjuna, he wanted to take proper revenge. So now he is also coming there. Regarding Sarpa Yajna, Mahabharata also speaks about one more instance. It says that the Kadru is the mother of all the Nagas. Kadru and Vinata, they both are the sisters, and they are married to Kashyapa Muni. And Vinata had Garuda as his son, and the sons of Kadru were all the Nagas. So at one point of time, the Kadru and Vinata, they had a bet. And Kadru wanted to somehow win the bet. So apparently she asked her children to cheat. And the Nagas, they refuse. This is not proper to cheat and win. So because the Nagas, they have refused to assist Kadru, Kadru just curses all the Nagas, saying that in the future you all will be burnt in the fire. So Brahma comes to know about this, that all the snakes are going to be burnt and there will not be any snake race. So he just adjusts the curse, saying that all the envious snakes, most of them, they will be burnt, and some pious snakes will be saved. He just gives a remedy how the sacrifice can be stopped. So because of that, the Sarpa Yajna conducted by Janmejaya Maharaj did not finish till the end. It just stops in between. Regarding the residence of Takshaka, the 5th canto, 24th chapter, while speaking about the subterranean planets, it says, planetary system below Talatala is known as Mahatala. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya and Sushena. The snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by the fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them nevertheless sport with their wives' children. So, Takshaka was not an ordinary snake. He was one of the leaders of all the Nagas, all the snakes. So this is a background how the Sarpa Yajna actually had instances for its starting. Now we see the second part. Like Janmejaya Maharaj here starts the whole Sarpa Yajna. And then all the snakes, even the most powerful snakes, are being burnt in the fire of the sacrifice. And Takshaka, when he comes to know, he just goes and takes shelter of Indra. And here Parikshit Janmejaya Maharaj says, so if Takshaka is taking shelter of Indra and he is not been pulled into the fire, then why not pull Indra himself also? So now, overcome by the passion, Janmejaya Maharaj goes to the extent that if Indra is obstructing my mission of killing the Takshaka, so let Indra also die. So Bhagavatam also speaks about few other pastimes where the kings and the devotees who started a mission on some proper just reasons but have been overtaken by the anger. Fourth canto speaks about the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. After pleasing the Lord, he becomes the king and ruling for the whole kingdom for a long time. And then at one point of time, his brother Uttama is been killed by the Yakshas, one of the Yakshas. And he wanted to take revenge at the Yakshas, and he wanted to kill the person who has killed his brother. And Dhruva Maharaj goes to the abode of Yakshas and he starts fighting. And there is a whole wonderful description of the whole fight that which happens between Dhruva and the Maharaj Dhruva and Yakshas. And towards the end, Dhruva Maharaj was in a mood of completely eradicating the whole Yaksha race. And finally Swayambhu Manu, he comes and he has to pacify Dhruva. So Prabhupada writes over there, because he was a ruler, it was his duty to become angry for some time in order to keep law and order in the state. So here, Dhruva Maharaj wanting to punish the Yaksha who has killed his brother, and even here Janmejaya Maharaj who want to punish Takshaka, was a duty of as a ruler, somebody can say. So Prabhupada says, it was a duty of Dhruva Maharaj to kill the offender, life for life, because Dhruva was the king. When the challenge came, Dhruva Maharaj fought vehemently and punished the Yakshas sufficiently. So Prabhupada writes over there, but anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. So when one goes out of control and crosses the boundary, one will not be able to properly see. Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, speaking about the passion, and verse number 31, understanding in the mode of passion, Bhagavad Gita says, O Sanapruta, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that ought to be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So when one is in the mode of goodness, one will be able to make out clearly what is right and what is wrong. And when one is in the mode of ignorance, one understands right to be wrong and wrong to be right. So both of them, they don't have any confusion. But it is in the mode of passion, the confusion starts. The distinction between religion and irreligion started fading away in the mode of passion. So here, you see, Dhruva Maharaj was there. So we also see, in the fourth canto, there is one more pastime mentioned about Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was doing sacrifice. So by doing sacrifice and by pleasing Vishnu, there will be a lot of prosperity for the whole kingdom and for everyone. So he was perfectly right in his duties and he is conducting his sacrifices one after another, and he reached up to the 100th sacrifice. And Indra was disturbed, and Indra was causing a lot of disturbances to the 100th sacrifice. And when Indra started causing disturbance to the sacrifice, so Prithu Maharaj also goes beyond and says, okay, if Indra is causing disturbance, let us punish Indra also. And then Brahmaji had to come and then stop Prithu Maharaj, saying that better you stop the sacrifice rather than killing Indra. In the passion you may feel that sacrifice is more important than Indra, but in the whole cosmic creation, Indra is more important than your sacrifice. Your pleasure, your pleasing to the Supreme Lord can be come even by not performing this sacrifice. But the Indra is needed over there. He is doing some more duties. So this understanding Prithu loses. So we see that two instances where kings who started the sacrifice and their duties with proper mood, but in the whole course of action taken over by the passion, they went ahead. We also see one more pastime in the same fourth canto. There is a pastime of Mother Sati and Daksha Yajna and all. So after Daksha cursed Lord Shiva, and Daksha has made sure that Lord Shiva does not get any sacrificial offerings in the sacrifices, and after that he is conducting a Daksha Yajna sacrifice. And Mother Sati wanted to go to attend the sacrifice. So all the reason that Mother Sati, she gives to Lord Shiva is, I want to meet my mother, I want to meet my sister, I am feeling separation from them. But after coming here to the sacrifice, she goes into total defending of his husband. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, she did not actually come to his father's house to participate in the function. Although before coming she pleaded with her husband that she wanted to see her sisters and her mother. That was only a plea. For actually her heart was maintained. But actually in her heart she maintained the idea that she would convince her father Daksha, and it was useless to continue being envious of Lord Shiva. So if you see, like, after Shiva was been cursed and not given any share in the whole sacrifices, Daksha is going on happily, all the demigods are attending his sacrifice, it already seemed nobody has bothering about Lord Shiva. So Mother Sati wanted to do some teachings to his father. So that was the main purpose that she goes there. But in her attempts to teach his father, it was not possible, and then she goes to the extent of leaving the body, burning herself. Actually, Acharya is right. Mother Sati, being Durga Devi herself, she could have killed Daksha only. But it would have brought a very bad name to Lord Shiva. He has sent his wife to kill his enemy. So instead of killing Daksha, she killed herself. So you see, she started with a proper intention, but she ended up killing herself. And we also see the instance of Lord Brahma. Well, in the third canto it comes, all because of the lot of passion that he was going on, there was a daughter, Vak, who was born to Lord Brahma, and then Brahmaji gets carried away by the lust towards his own daughter. Of course, Acharyas, they mention that this Brahma who was ran behind the, his daughter is not the current Brahma, or at least it is not in this current Manvantara, because after hearing the Chatushloki Bhagavatam from Sri Krishna himself, the Brahma cannot fall down to that stage. But in the 11th canto, there is one more incident where four Kumaras, they ask a question to Lord Brahma. The senses are attached to the sense objects. Sense objects are in the senses. The how this can be solved. And then Brahmaji goes into confusion. He is not able to answer. So the verse says, the intelligence of the Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation, and thus he could not discover the essential answer to this question. So it is not that he does not know the answer, but because of he was too much in the activities of creation, he was not able to tell at that point of time. So for all these people who were carried away by the passion, the one thing that helped Dhruva Maharaj or Prutu Maharaj, who were saved from the passion. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was in passion, he was about to extinguish the entire Yaksha race, and Kubera was the preside the leader of the Yakshas, and Kubera and along with that Lord Shiva, they all will get angry on Dhruva Maharaj. So who saved Dhruva Maharaj from was Swayambhu Manu. He comes and gives a lot of timely instructions. So Prabhupada writes there, in order that Dhruva Maharaj's kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Dhruva Maharaj could understand the purpose of his grandfather, and he immediately stopped the fighting. So in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, in the case of Prutu Maharaj, somebody, seniors who came and who stopped them from doing that passionate activities. Coming to the Janmejaya's Sarpayagna also, when there was a curse on the Nagas or the snakes, the Brahmaji gives a way how that can be counteracted. So Mahabharata goes into detail of a Brahmana Astika who was born for the sole purpose of stopping the Sarpayagna, and he comes to that arena where no other Brahmanas are allowed. Because Janmejaya makes sure that nobody enters into the assembly to into the Yajna to disturb the sacrifice. But Astika, he could go into the sacrifice and stop. And Mahabharata mentions that Astika stopped the sacrifice, and there were other sages who have consoled Janmejaya Maharaj and taught him proper understanding of how to see. And here Bhagavatam mentions Brihaspati came and gave instructions to the Janmejaya Maharaj. So in one sense, both Mahabharata and Bhagavatam are not contradicting. So one person stopped, another person gave proper instructions to Janmejaya Maharaj. So, hearing from the Brihaspati, or Janmejaya Maharaj, he understands the proper way of how to see the leaving of Parikshit Maharaj. And then, going into the instructions that Brihaspati gives Janamejaya Maharaj, he just speaks, the life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activities. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness or distress. So here, Brihaspati speaks on the philosophy of karma, that oneself is the cause of one's own activity, the destination that one is going through. So here, in the purport, it says, it is not because of the karma that Parikshit Maharaj is going through this phase of his life, but it was the will of the Supreme Lord. So, there's a lot of discussion of how it was the will of the Supreme Lord that which caused the death of the Parikshit Maharaj, and it is not his own karma or somebody else's curse. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes, the curse was given by a small child, and small child can be easily forgiven. So Lord arranged a small child to give a curse. If it was in a big person, then it would have been difficult to be forgiven. So now the child is also not implicated in the curse. Now the king also goes through the whole routine of leaving the body. And ultimately the purpose was for the descending of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one few points looking into the philosophy of karma. Here the main point that Brihaspati is pointing out is not about who is the cause of the death of Parikshit Maharaj, but Brihaspati is trying to impress the point that the Takshaka is not the cause. No other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness or distress. So when one sees an external agent as a cause of one's own suffering, one has lot of grudge and lot of grudge towards the agent who has caused the suffering. The philosophy of Bhagavatam, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita ultimately says that there are so many causes that which cause a particular activities in our life, and we should try to look beyond the immediate cause. So in that sense, the here Brihaspati brings about the cause which is not just the Takshaka, it is beyond that. So one point about karma is, generally it is said that there are three causes of the karma. One is immediate cause, so one is the remote cause, one is the ultimate cause. Immediate cause is the one who is directly causing us the suffering, who is causing us, inflicting us. And the remote cause is our own activity which has put us in that particular environment to cause the problem. And the ultimate cause is our free will with which we have chosen to come to this material world. So the Bhagavatam philosophy says we need to act on all the three levels. We need to address the immediate cause, we need to address the remote cause, and we need to address the ultimate cause also. If one is only addressing the immediate cause and thinking that the immediate cause itself is the cause of my suffering, he will not be able to give the solution to the suffering, because that is not the whole cause which is causing the problem. And just accepting one's own karma as the cause of the suffering will lead one to a depression, because I am the cause of my suffering and there is no hope. Whatever I do in this life, I am going to suffer. The karma philosophy appears as if it is a very fatalistic and it is not progressive. But what Bhagavatam presents is the ultimate cause. He says, you accept it is your own karma so that you will not have any grudge toward others, so that you can deal with the immediate cause in a proper way. And The ultimate solution will come only when you solve the ultimate problem. You understand the who is the cause of all causes? You understand the who is the creator of this whole universe, the maintainer, the destroyer, the ultimate destroyer? What is our relationship with the Supreme Lord? So when we understand the philosophy of Bhagavatam, then that solves the whole problems at all the levels. So one nice verse comes like in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahmaji speaks, Tattenukampa susumikshamanam. So here it says, Bhunjiya eva atmakrutam vipakam. So one has to accept one's own suffering that is coming as one's own, he himself as a cause of suffering. But if one starts doing that, one will go into the depression. The third verse gives a solution. He says, Hrid vak vapurbir vidada namaste. So Bhagavatam doesn't say just accept the suffering as your cause of your karma as a cause of your suffering, but as a solution, take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And when one is able to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and then accept the suffering as one's own karma and then deals properly, then one will be able to go the mukti. Mukti pade sadaya bak. So I'd like to stop here. So basically we have discussed about the instances which led to the Sarpa Yajna conducted by Janmejaya Maharaj. And we have seen few instances where people who went overboard, overcome by the passion. And then we have seen little bit on the how to take the karma philosophy. I'd like to ask if there are any questions or comments. Okay, so we'll stop here. Grandhra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.